are about to listen to the
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight. So let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence has taken us somewhere else.
The Rockets went right there. Trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs, except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
That Obama's literary agent of a book that was scheduled to be released in 1991 or booklet states emphatically that Obama was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
The purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the VOCR. It is Monday, August the 27th, 2012. A great evening here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. The forecasters predicted that temperatures could reach as high as 29 degrees Celsius today, and that would have been around about 90 or so Fahrenheit. And it hit 30. Yep, it hit 90 degrees Fahrenheit, 30 degrees Celsius in Calgary today. However, things look like they're going to be those cool overnights and those hot days. Tomorrow looks like it's going to be another great 30 degrees, 90 degree weather, but the day starts off pretty cool, around about 11 degrees, which is only about 53. So, as Alberta, Canada basks in the appreciated heat, our friends, family, and kissing cousins down in the New Orleans area are experiencing very difficult issues. Tropical Storm Isaac is tracking west of Tampa, and so far is not expected to careen directly into the site of the Republican National Convention, which is taking place in Tampa this week. Isaac is heading for New Orleans, possibly as early as Tuesday night, nearly 7 years to the day after Hurricane Katrina devastated the city. Four Gulf Coast governors from Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and the host state, of course, Florida, already are steering clear of the convention to tend to emergency responses in their states. President Barack Obama has declared a state of emergency in Louisiana as Tropical Storm Isaac threatens to hit the U.S. as a Category 2 hurricane. Now, the Republican Party has delayed by a day the start of its national convention in Tampa, Florida. Isaac has been fairly deadly so far. It has killed at least 20 people in Haiti and in the Dominican Republic. The storm wrought significant flooding and damage to the Caribbean. And late on Monday, the National Hurricane Center warned Isaac could reach Category 2 strength with top winds of 100 miles per hour, or 160 kilometers per hour. The forecast was revised from Category 1. Now, President Obama approved Louisiana's request for a federal disaster declaration, making available federal funds for recovery activities such as clearing debris. Our thoughts and prayers are with you all down in Louisiana and down in New Orleans and on the Gulf Coast, where you are most certainly in danger. You shall be in our thoughts tonight. And as we do each week at the beginning of the show, special shout-outs to Julie from Belfast. Thanks for your emails, Julie. Keep them coming. And the BC Dreamcatcher, regards to the clan. The Southeast Brickies' much better half, Beth. I hear you're on the move. We hope you keep listening. Good luck. And remember, the mortar which holds the relationship together is more than just sand and water. I look forward to your coffees. The Calgary Scottish Lass, what can I say? You're killing yourself. You need to take a very deep breath. Enjoy the moment. Alfred, let's have a look at email.
You've got email, Governor.
And Julie from Belfast wrote, I read a story in your daily thingy that Barack Obama has banned a traditional all-denominational blessing at the commencement of the DNC convention. And more importantly to me, he has denied any Catholic input in the daily house prayers and local points of worship. I also read it that Obama had embraced Muslim at the DNC convention. Is this true, Julie in Belfast? Well, Julie, let me say this. From a great online newspaper called the CanadianFreePress.com, we extracted this story. The story number is 49021, if you want to go searching for the specific. But Barack Obama calls one of the prettiest sounds on earth at sunset. The Muslim call to prayer ends the first day of the kickoff of the DNC in Charlotte, in North Carolina. Yep, according to the Charlotte DNC homepage, the Jumaya at the 2012 DNC will welcome 20,000 Muslims to Charlotte, and Democrats dubbed it an official event. Now, the Juma at the 2012 DNC starts Friday afternoon, August the 31st. Juma prayers followed by a myriad of other yet-to-be defined programs and events, but leading up to the Islam regal banquet, and it will be halal, of course. So, Julie, we can confirm that the Muslim call to prayer shall be part of the DNC convention daily. We are still trying to confirm that the Catholic Church has been denied access to the convention delegate. We do advise you to keep reading the website for our daily releases, or sign up for it to be mailed directly to you, so you'll get the scoop first. Email vocr2012@gmail.com, and we'll send your info by reply. Mark from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Listened to the show, last week's show. I agree with you on Quebec. I have listened to their whines for over 30 years, how badly they have been treated in the Canadian Confederation. I have a friend who lives in Montreal and has a business there, and he has said the cost of doing business in Quebec is 30% higher because of the language laws and the language police and the kickbacks. Well, Mark, I've heard much the same thing. Apparently corruption is rampant and the cost of doing business is obscene, and that is probably why many of the head offices of major corporations have abscrammed from Quebec, and they're making their home in other parts of Canada and the United States. I personally have nothing against Quebec. I don't believe the average citizen has any real desire to separate from Canada. I dare say that the average Quebec resident has no real idea of the financial or economic ramifications that separation would cause in the Canadian Confederation. This discussion raises its head every so often and becomes an issue only when political parties choose it to be. The Quebec separation card is often used as much as the political race card is used in the U.S. elections. But thanks for your email support, Mark. Keep it coming. Cameron from Houston, Texas. Now that's the Calgary of the South now. The XL pipeline is 40% complete in the U.S. The Canadian leg is ready to pump. January 2013, President Romney will authorize the link to Canada. Well, from your mouth to God's ears, my friend. How will this impact the recent acquisition of Nexus by the Chinese? Cameron. First of all, Cameron, Houston is such a great city. You're so fortunate to live there, sir. The XL pipeline is a crucial backbone to the protection and defense of North America against its foreign interference on domestic policy. It is also a vital link for Alberta and Canada as a whole and provides an incredible stream, pardon the pun, of stable oil supply and stable export values for Canada. The upkeep of the pipeline will employ thousands of people yearly. The offshoot businesses will explode onto the commercial venues and it shall stimulate housing sales and revenue sources. This is a given. The Nexen sale to the Chinese is not approved yet. It is not a given that China will be able to purchase this Canadian corporation. The Canadian government will make that decision. From indications from the federal conservatives in Canada, the sitting government, they are considering all future possibilities in conjunction with the sale of Nexus Oil to the Chinese. The last confirmed information we had was that the conservatives do not feel it meet the benefit benchmark for Canada to permit Chinese interest in the oil capacity pipeline. So, we're not sure if that's going to transpire, but we shall see. Thanks for your emails. Keep them coming. Anybody out there that wants to send an email to the VOCR, it's VOCR2012@gmail.com, and we'll be right back.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question unless Hawaii verifies he was born there.
The Rockets went by day. We took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets. On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead and move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and there choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com for more information.
Here at the VOCR, we do appreciate viewers and readers' email. We hope if you have something you wish to say, statement you wish to make, an opinion you wish to render, then you send the email to vocr2012@gmail.com and we'll get it on the blog.
This is VOCR Radio and I'm Guru Nostrum. On air live, 347-324-3287. In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries come over, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the greater world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, who will you be tonight? Returning for yet another season, Night Talk Radio, Alpha Waves to Zulu Time. Night Talk takes you into the paranormal, extraterrestrial, murky waters of investigations. Join Colin Knight weekly on Night Talk Radio. Check it out, nighttalkradio.com. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Got something on your mind? Need to get something off your chest? Interested in a debate? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And since our edition on Sharia law a couple of weeks back, the highest rated show in 5 years for VOCR, and the unfortunate story within that show regarding a Pakistani woman and her family, and the disgusting and hateful things that were done in the name of religion, or claimed religion. And it was heartening to hear. And she told her story. Well, we've received a number of links on more of those types of stories. And each one as horrendous as the other. But one in particular came from Front Page Mag. And kind of caught one of our readers, and they read it and thought that it would be a good thing to bring forward to the VOCR. So they sent me the email, and it's from Front Page Mag, and it says, "Imagine you were a teenage girl in Pakistan, and your parents married you off very young. The marriage is a disaster, but you have no rights. You flee with your daughter to the U.S. and you hide out for 2 years until the detective he has hired finds you. And now, in Pakistan, under Islamic law, the means of obtaining a divorce is only available to the man, but never, of course, to a woman. He demands full custody of your daughter. Oh, and he's accused you of adultery. You consider flying to Pakistan to contest a divorce, but adultery is a crime under Islamic law in Pakistan, a crime which is punishable by death. You will literally be arrested the moment you deboard the plane in Karachi. You could face prison time or even be stoned to death, and in Pakistan, your testimony under Islamic law is worth only half of that of a man. Then you remember, you're in America now, and you have rights. So you petition the American courts, filing for a real divorce. But unfortunately, your husband has a Pakistani judge as an expert witness, who he flies in to testify in the Maryland court, and the judge accepts his view of Sharia's best interest of the child scenario as the same as Maryland's best interest of the child. So you and your daughter are simply outgunned. And to your surprise, you find out that the American courts have been convinced to bow to Islamic law, the Sharia, and you are now without any money, you have lost your home, and you've even lost your daughter. Now, does this sound crazy to you, too crazy to be true? Like something that just couldn't happen in America? In fact, this kind of reckless disregard for American law in American courts is actually more common than one might think. This scenario resembled what happened to one woman in Maryland, and it's happening all over North America. In a couple of weeks, we have a special airing about Muslim divorce, Sharia law, another blockbuster report, which is sure to generate probably a little bit of that good old jihad email. And the sad thing about it is, ladies and gentlemen, is they're just not creative anymore.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. We'll be right back.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God, go I. There's a modern saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God, go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on TerraJet Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification calling night.
Well, we just had a network fart. I'm not sure how long we were off the air. I'm not sure if the station went off, but we had a pretty good bump there. The power went down and back up again, but it looks like, according to the board, everything seems to be up and where it's supposed to be. So, for those of you out there that are also signed into our daily newsletter, did you read the VOCR Gazette today? The story of the 17 civilians killed by Taliban insurgents in Afghan's southern Helmand province, reportedly for attending a party. Now, the bodies of two women and 15 men were found by the side of a road and they at the Kajaki district. They were either beheaded or had their throats cut. Some showed signs of beatings or had gunshot wounds. Meanwhile, 10 Afghan army soldiers were killed in a Taliban attack in the same province in eastern Afghanistan. Two U.S. soldiers were shot dead by the Afghan National Army soldier. The bodies of 17 civilians that were discovered was Monday morning. Local officials said the men had gathered to listen to music and watch the women dance when they were attacked. The Taliban disapprove of men and women mixing socially. Could you imagine that law here? We would lose 90% of university and college students. We would, however, resolve the boombox problem. Hey guys, listen up. This could happen to you. Women in Togo have been urged to abstain from sex for a week to push their demands of reform. The ban on sex has been called by the opposition coalition Let's Save Togo, made up of 9 civil society groups and 7 opposition parties and movements. Now, the opposition leader, Isabel Emenganevi, said that sex could be a weapon of the battle to achieve political change. So, they're talking about sex striking, guys. Now, do we want our women's livers in North America to even contemplate this issue? Are you crazy? Are you mad? Have you forgotten the immortal words? Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Now you must practice that on a regular basis because it must be the first thing that comes out of your mouth when asked a question that you didn't hear.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. If you've got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. You got a business. You didn't build that. Somebody else.
I am going to predict that within the 4 years of my term, that we would get unemployment down to 6%. According to the president's plan, we're supposed to be at 5.6% by now, and he hasn't accomplished that. that, we're still above 8%. He said if we put in place a stimulus, we'd never go above 8%. We've had 41 straight months above 8%. Now, my plan is based on five key changes that will change the direction of our economy and will get our unemployment rate down and get our wages coming up again. And I'll tell you what the 5 points are very quickly. One is taking advantage of our energy resources. Number two is opening new trade for American goods and services around the world. Number three is scaling back the size of government, cutting the deficit. Number four is making sure we're creating human capital with great schools for our kids and training for our workers. And number five is restoring economic freedom by holding down regulation to those that are absolutely necessary and reforming our tax code.
347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. Got a question? Want to make a comment? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And no matter how many times I hear that song with Vera Lynn, it sends goosebumps up my arms. That was one of my father's favorite songs that he would whistle in his garden while he was pruning his roses. Such a sweet memory. Each week we announce the casualties and the injured from the coalition wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. But very seldom do we get the chance to report cyber terrorism kills. And tonight we're fortunate to be able to do that. About 30,000 workstation computers are back online at Saudi Aramco after a virus hit the world's largest oil producer. Remote access was still restricted as a precaution, the group has said, and the oil production was not affected by the virus, which struck on August the 15th. The company took its website offline after the attack, and now carries a message on its front page apologizing for any inconvenience. It stated, "We have isolated all our electronic systems from outside access as an early precautionary measure that was taken following a sudden disruption which affected some sectors of our network," and the message closed. Most of the damage has now been repaired, and a group named the Cutting Sword of Justice has claimed responsibility for the attack in an online forum. It blamed the Saudi government for crimes and atrocities in several countries. It said the state-run oil firm was hit because it was a key source of income for the government. Now, this was not the first, nor will it be the last, illegal attempt to intrude into the systems, according to Khalid Al-Fahil. He's the president and chief executive of Saudi Aramco. Last week, a virus called Shamoon, which targeted companies in the energy industry, was reported by security experts. Saudi Aramco has not said whether this was malware which was involved. Now, after doing some research upon reading an email previously from Julian Island, we found this updated information. Apparently, Obama does ban Catholic prayers at the DNC convention. It appears as though Obama just doesn't get it. His lack of respect or understanding for all religions having a voice at political conventions. Obama, in a single statement, ticked off stacks of Catholics, even further by dissing Cardinal Dolan for the DNC, say they bye-bye to big old voting blocks, Mr. Anti-Catholic-in-Chief. Big, 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 huge mistake. Especially when you greet 20,000 Muslims to be a warm-up act for the Democratic National Convention. Obama's administration seems to rage against pretty much everything Christians hold sacred. Even Stevie Wonder can see stuff like that. But some of you people out there continue to say, but Obama loves the poor. Well, if that were true, then why has he created so many more of them in the last 3 years? Look, I'm not a Catholic, but I sure dig Dolan's chutzpah. It's about time you guys got a U.S.-based prophetic butt-kicker who's not beholden to big government, but rather to a bigger God. And that's the way I see it.
Now, one side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt?
The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
This is Voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com. On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Almost terrifying, isn't it? As we look around the news and we receive links from our various readers and contributors, every so often one jumps out at you and kind of slaps you around a little bit and you have to pay attention. And this one is about the Arctic Sea. Apparently the Arctic Sea ice has reached a record low. The Arctic has lost more sea ice this year than any time since satellite records began in 1979. Now, the scientists involved in the calculation say it's part of a fundamental change. Boy, these guys are swift, aren't they? What is more, sea ice normally reaches its low point in September, so it is thought likely that this year's melt will continue to grow. NASA says the extent of sea ice was 1.58 square miles. 1.58 square miles, compared with the previous low of 1.61 million square miles, that is. And that usually, that was calculated 18 September 2007. The sea ice cap grows during the cold Arctic winters and then shrinks when temperatures climb again. But over the last three decades, satellites have observed a 13% decline per decade in the summertime minimum. So the thickness of the ice is also declining. So overall, the ice volume has fallen far, although estimates vary about the actual number. So if the sea ice is declining, that means the volume of water on Earth is increasing, as it changes from ice to liquid, and the displacement volume becomes liquid and salted liquid, then you will see that the rise of sea levels. Now, I do not believe for one moment this is the Al Gore special of global warming. I am one of those believers that believe that Mother Nature, the Earth, is a living, breathing item, and it will dictate itself to maintain its existence. In other words, when there is too much gas, it will vent. When there are too many maneuvers around the world affecting it, it's going to shake like a dog. We're just fleas on the back of a giant dog called Earth. I was very surprised to read that the president of Colombia, Juan Manuel Santos, has agreed to hold talks with the FARC. Now, they've been at war with the FARC rebel group for nigh on, what, five decades, so 50 years or so. And the FARC signaled last year that they may be interested in negotiating a peace, a truce. And the government has reciprocated. Media reports say that the two sides have signed a deal in the Cuban capital, Havana, to begin talks in October. And the left-wing FARC rebels have been fighting the Colombian government for almost five decades. Last August, the FARC leader at the time, Alfonso Cano, said the group was ready for peace negotiations. So this isn't a stretch, but it is quite a move. Now, rumors have circulated about secret meetings between government representatives and the rebel of the Cuban capitals and all of that stuff. According to the regional media network Telesur, the first round of talks would be held in the Norwegian capital of Oslo on the 5th of October. Negotiators would then continue holding talks in Havana, it added. So, pretty impressive that even the FARC can come to the table and talk. Now, we have hopes that the rebels in the Philippines will also come to the table very shortly and resolve their matters with the Philippine government. That is one problem that is outstanding that does need to be reconciled, and it does not require Western forces to help. The Philippine government have things quite well in hand, even though every so often they do trip over an old Marco enthusiast who wants to do the dirty on their own country. But we'll see. We did read a story about voter identification law, which was pretty interesting. The federal trial over South Carolina's voter identification law got underway on Monday, with a state senator insisting his work on the law was aimed at fighting fraud and instilling public confidence in the election system. During morning testimony, State Senator George Chip Kempson III cited examples of fraud that he took into consideration while drafting early versions of South Carolina's law. Those included vote buying, voter rolls indicating a woman who showed up at the polls had already voted, and press reports of voters being registered in both South Carolina and North Carolina. But under questioning from Justice Department Attorney Anna Baldwin, Kempson, a Republican, said the examples he gave did not involve the type of fraud that requiring photo identification would address. None of the examples you gave in your testimony involved incidents of impersonation, Baldwin asked. Correct, Kempson answered. He also said he could not find cases of voter impersonation in South Carolina, but added that the state lacks the tools to root them out. The Justice Department rejected South Carolina's law passed last year, which requires specific photo identification be shown in order to vote. The department decided the law violates Section 5 of the Federal Voting Regulations Act, which protects minority voters. South Carolina's voter photo ID law was subject to approval from the Justice Department because of its history of racial discrimination. South Carolina's law was the first voting law to be refused federal clearance in nearly 20 years. South Carolina responded with a lawsuit in hopes of restating the measure. So, it could go really, really bad, couldn't it, eh? The voting laws. The electronic voting scares the heck out of me. And if we get a chance, we might discuss that in a little while here. But it scares the living tar out of me.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. We'll be right back.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God, go I. There is a modern saying that many citizens are two paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God, go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
And you'll probably remember this story from a few months back. We did report it extensively. Six U.S. Army soldiers and three Marines escaped criminal charges for mistakenly burning Korans and urinating on the corpses of Taliban insurgents in Afghanistan. But they received administrative punishments, U.S. military officials said on Monday. A military investigation concluded that miscommunications, poor guidance, and soldiers' decisions to take the easy way instead of the right way resulted in the burning of more than 300 Korans and other religious books at a U.S. base in Afghanistan earlier this year. U.S. military leaders widely condemned both the Koran burning and the urination, which was captured on video. The Koran burning triggered Afghan riots and retribution killings, including two U.S. troops who were shot by an Afghan soldier and two U.S. military advisors who were gunned down at their desks at the Interior Ministry. Now, the exact punishments have not been disclosed, and it was not clear whether the lack of criminal charges would trigger any protests in Afghanistan. Administrative punishments could include demotion, extra duty, forfeiture of pay, or a letter in their file. They also could stall future advancement and end military careers. Now, Amal Fazi, a spokesman for Afghan President Hamid Karzai, said Karzai's office would review the decision and wait until Tuesday to respond. The news to respond to the news on the punishments because it came late in the night in Afghanistan. 18 hours ago, a powerful magnitude 7.4 earthquake struck off the coast of El Salvador late Sunday, and the U.S. Geological Survey reported the epicenter of the quake was about 177 kilometers, or 110 miles, southeast of the capital, San Salvador, and took place nearly 33 miles underground. Some minor shaking was reported, but there were no immediate reports of damage or interest. The tsunami warning was issued by the Pacific Warning System, and they, of course, canceled that very quickly because they realized they did not need it. Which was a good thing. But it shows you the power and the majesty and the deadly force that they can strike against our feeble society. Once a tsunami and it could be all over for thousands, if not millions of people. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a 2012 believer completely. But I find it strange that these large earthquakes, the rocking of the boat, if you will, seems to be awfully close to 21-12-12. That's just my thinking. And what's even crazier is it seems that most religions are exploding because of one issue or another. Now, we mentioned earlier, remember that teenage girl from Pakistan gets married very young, done and arranged by the parents. Marriage was a disaster, but she did have one child from the marriage. She fled Pakistan to the United States and hid out for a couple of years until a trained investigator was hired by the ex-husband to find her, which he did. And then the court system was used against her. Knowing that she couldn't get a good case in Pakistan because he had claimed that she committed adultery, and adultery is a death sentence crime there. You know, knowing that she could be stoned to death, she chose to try the American court system. That was the logical thing for her to do. So she petitioned the American courts. She filed for a real American divorce. But her husband had bigger ideas and brought in an expert on Sharia law and explained the best interest of the child. And the Maryland judge believed him and agreed that the best interest of the child in the Maryland law was the same. And she was outgunned. So now she is without money, lost her home, and lost her daughter. And these stories are happening every day. We get links daily from people all around the world showing some pretty disgusting, horrible things that men are doing to women in the name of a religion. Take those 17 kids. They were listening to music and watching dancing. And they had their heads chopped off for it. Right. A little harsh, don't you think?
Now, one side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
I represent a part of America that includes inner cities, rural areas, suburbs, and factory towns. Over the years, I have seen and heard from a lot of family, from a lot of those who are running small businesses, and from people who are in need. But what I've heard lately, that's what troubles me the most. There's something different in their voice, in their words. What I hear from them are diminished dreams, lowered expectations, uncertain futures. I hear some people say that this is just the new normal. Higher unemployment, declining incomes, and crushing debt is not a new normal. It is the result of misguided policies. And next January, our economy will begin a comeback with the Romney plan for a stronger middle class that will lead to more jobs and more take-home pay for working Americans.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And just to recap, as we move into the last 8 minutes or so of the show, the convention, the Republican convention in Tampa, is being kind of squeezed down a little bit to Tuesday to Friday. Romney will be speaking Thursday night, and Romney will be speaking Tuesday night. And we do invite you all to listen to what Romney has to say. And then next week or the week after, when the Democrat have their convention, listen to what they have to say. Let's find a middle in there where everybody can be happy. It's most definitely probably not going to be Barack Hussein Obama. He cannot run on his record. We're aware of that. And the attack ads, frankly, are growing very, very weary. It's like, oh, here comes another one. And nobody listens anymore. Nobody listens to it anymore. And we remind you guys out there that the women in Togo have come up with a dastardly plan. They've urged their followers to abstain from sex for a week to push their demands for reform. Yeah, the opposition coalition, Let's Save Togo, have called sex a weapon. And a weapon of the battle. And if we want to complete political change, then we have to use every weapon. So she is saying everybody withhold sex from their husbands for a week to get political change. Now, do you think that would work? Do you honestly think it would work? I dare say In a heartbeat. Yeah, I dare say in a heartbeat it would work. And I had mentioned at the beginning of the show about voting, electronic voting. Very, very scary. We've run out of time tonight, but when the Spanish online voting company, SCYTL, bought the largest vote processing corporation in the United States, it also acquired the means of manufacturing the outcome of the 2012 election. For SOE, the Tampa-based corporation purchased SCYTL in January, and that supplies the election software, which records, counts, and reports on the votes of Americans in 26 states, 900 total jurisdictions across the nation. So that's quite terrifying. And this company will be counting American votes from Spain. Yeah. Yeah, the job of counting American votes won't be done in the United States of America. Now, isn't that kind of ironic? Is that something Barack Hussein Obama wants to publicize out there, or would rather keep quiet? That the voting machines and the information that a voter will punch into there becomes the property of this private corporation, is sent to Spain into their servers for calculations and accountability, and then sent to the government under contract. This is terrifying. Under the privacy, under the secrecy of the information they're receiving, this is terrifying. That any database would have the contents of the 2004, 2008, and now coming up 2012 elections. It's frightening. We gotta go.
And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
we
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com for more information. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter tonight, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a Terror Chat Network production. www.terrorchatnet.com.